Thank you so much. Well, good morning. It's really good to see you all today. This morning we're going to look at a passage in Luke's Gospel. We're going to look at Luke. What's wrong with my mouth today? We're going to look at Luke and we're going to read some verses from chapter 3. Zacharias, out in the desert at the time, received a message from God. He went through the country around the Jordan River, preaching a baptism of life change leading to forgiveness of sins, as described in the words of Isaiah the prophet. Thunder in the desert, prepare God's arrival, make the road smooth and straight. Every ditch will be filled in, every bump smoothed out, the detours straightened out, all the ruts paved over. Everyone will be there to see the parade of God's salvation. When the crowds of people came out for baptism, it was the popular thing to do. John exploded. Brood of snakes, what do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? Do you think a little water on your snake skins is going to deflect God's judgment? It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as father. Being a child of Abraham is neither here nor there. Children of Abraham are a dime a dozen. God can make children from stones if he wants. What counts is your life. Is it green and blossoming? Because if it's dead wood, it goes on the fire. The crowd asked him, what are we supposed to do? He said, if you have two coats, give one away. Do the same with your food. Taxmen also came to be baptized and said, teacher, what should we do? He told them, no more extortion. Collect only what is required by law. Soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He told them, no shakedowns, no blackmail, and be content with your rations. The interest of the people was now building. They all began to wonder, could this be the Messiah? But John intervened. I'm baptizing you here in the river. The main character in this drama, to whom I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom life, a fire, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to make a clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything in its true and proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned. There was more of this, words that gave strength to the people, words that put a heart in them, the message. But Herod, the ruler, stung by John's rebuke in the matter of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, capped his long string of evil deeds with this outrage. He put John in jail. Maybe a slight less familiar reading of what is quite a familiar passage. I've read it from the message because it's good sometimes for us to hear a familiar passage in perhaps a slightly fresh or an unfamiliar way. Several years ago, I was up at a church in Manchester, and someone called Andy Hawthorne from the Message Trust was there sharing a story. And he was talking about how the Message Trust had been going through a hard time financially. And concerned that they were going to have to make some budget cuts, he and his team sat down with their £2.5 million budget and they went through the budget line by line, saying, Lord, what do we need to cut? And they sensed God saying, cut nothing. So they went ahead with a budget that they knew that they couldn't afford. Month one and the management accounts came in. And I forget the figures, because I'm not very good with numbers. But the expenditure line came in at tens of thousands of pounds and a handful of pence. And then they looked at the income line. And the income line came in at tens of thousands of pounds and a handful of pence. And the two lines were the same. Exactly the same. So he said to his finance team, you need to check this. and they did. And then he said, you need to check it again, and they did. Checking it a couple of times over, the lines still balanced. The income and the expenditure lines were the same. And he was amazed. He was amazed at God's faithfulness, and he was amazed at his miracle. And of course, it gave faith to continue to do what he sensed God was telling them to do. And not surprisingly, he felt that this was a story worth sharing. And so wherever he went, he was telling people of this wonderful story. And one of the people that he went to see was a wealthy banker. This banker had given the Message Trust something to the tune of £23,000. He was that wealthy. He was that able to provide that kind of money. And Andy started to tell him this story. And this banker started to cry. This banker, this hard-nosed businessman, started to sob as he heard this story being told. And eventually he was able to explain what was going on. He said, I come into work and I run this business every day wondering what purpose it serves in the kingdom of God. And today I understand where I fit in. And I wonder how many of us go about our everyday lives, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's social settings, whether it's homes or in our neighbourhoods. And we wonder, what is the purpose of what we're doing fitting into the kingdom of God? Now, John the Baptist had no worries about where he fitted into the kingdom of God. He knew exactly his purpose. His job was to prepare the way for Jesus. And he is described as the stage man to the main character in the drama. The best man, were. His purpose in the kingdom of God was to get people ready for Jesus. And he did this as if there was no tomorrow. That's our call too. To get people ready for Jesus. To prepare people for encountering him. So what are we supposed to do? When John the Baptist's preaching was so brilliant and so compelling, it drew loads of people to the River Jordan. They just marveled at what he'd got to say. And they marveled at his strong sense of purpose, so much so that they thought he might be the Messiah. And John the Baptist put them straight on that point. But he also wanted to put them straight on something else as well. And that was the matter of baptism. Now, thankfully, we probably don't adopt John the Baptist's style of communication. So I'm not going to comment on how he spoke to his congregation. And I hope I might speak to you just a little less harshly and a little more kindly. He was so blunt, but what he wanted them to understand was their motives and their reason for baptism was wrong. He told them it wasn't the latest religious in thing that would be helpful in making them right before God. He told them that there was nothing magical about the water or the water touching their skin. That really wasn't the important thing. Just as we heard last week from Bex and Julie, what he wanted them to understand, as Bex and Julie understood when they were baptized, baptism is something that we do on the outside because it symbolizes a change of something that has happened on the inside. John the Baptist told them that their baptism was meaningless unless they went through a life change. It was meaningless unless it represented a transformation in their behavior and in their priorities and in their ethics, and in their values, and so on. This was because baptism alone wasn't and isn't part of God's transforming work in the world by itself. We could all be baptized, but we're not going to make a difference in the world unless our lives are changed. We're not going to be effective in our witness to who Jesus is and why following him is a good thing if our lives show that he makes a difference to us. You know, if I want to lose weight, I can read every diet book there is on the market. It would take a very long time. But I can read every book that's out there. And I can listen to inspirational stories about people that have lost weight. And I can sit on the sofa and try and think myself thin. And I can go to Slimming World every week and jump on the scales and listen to the talks. But you know, it doesn't matter how much I do those things. Unless I change my eating habits consistently, day by day, my dress size isn't going to change a jot. And if I go and I buy calorific food, and if I cook calorific meals, and if I eat unhealthily in front of other people, not only will my dress size go up, if I have any influence on others, I'm likely to bring them down with me if I continue to eat in unhealthy ways. John the Baptist called the crowds behaviours with life in the kingdom of God. Now Jesus would explain so much more about kingdom life and kingdom principles, but John the Baptist got it enough to recognise that kingdom life was going to look very different to the life that the society around him and the things that they were doing. I've run out of words in my sentence. Very different is what I'm trying to say. He grasped that fitting in with the society around him was not kingdom life. And he realized that if we are going to be a transforming influence in our workplaces, in our homes, in our leisure time activities, communities, we have to first be changed on the inside. The crowd said to John the Baptist, "What are we supposed to do? Be specific. What are we supposed to do?" And John said, "Change your attitudes towards money, change your attitudes towards sex, and change your attitude towards power." He started with everyone in the crowd. And he said, if you have got more than you need, give some of it away. But he then went on to address specific people in the crowd as they asked him questions. People who were in positions of power and influence. And he talked particularly to tax collectors and soldiers. But you know, what he had to say to them applies to anyone who's in the workplace, applies to anyone who's a governor, in a position of influence over resources and the way people are treated. Luke also, at the end of that reading, just reminds us that John the Baptist had spoken about sex inasmuch that he had spoken out against Herod and Herod's affair with somebody else's wife and then the subsequent marriage that came out of that. In that opening story that I shared, wondered where he was to the purpose of God. And his questions, some of them at least, must have related to the environment that he was working in. And I wonder whether he perhaps felt ashamed of what his business was all about. It was a business that was about making money, and often making money at other people's expense. I wonder whether he felt a bit ashamed about working in a profession that hasn't always had good press when it comes to values and ethics. I wonder whether we sometimes feel sometimes also carry questions and even shame over the environment we're working in, what it is that we're about, the groups of people that we socialise in, or even what's going on in our families at home. We need to listen to what John the Baptist said. He talked about people being transformed so they could be transforming. He didn't say to those who could afford to give something away, you mustn't be rich. And he didn't say to the soldiers or the tax collectors, actually, you need to go out and change your jobs and do something different because this isn't a nice bit of society for you to be a part of. What he said was, wherever you are, live life differently. Do life differently. Adopt different habits and behaviours where you are. Now, of course, God sometimes moves us on. Sometimes he takes us out of circumstances that are going to be unhealthy for us. But other times he wants us to be in some of the darker places in society so that we can be light and we can be that transforming influence. The tax collectors and the soldiers were part of that darker society in Jesus' day. And so John the Baptist just gave them some very specific pointers as to how they could live life differently and be light in dark places. But the kind of things he talked about were the only things that would come about if they went through a heart change. Extortion, blackmail, using threatening behaviour, off the cards, to be avoided. Instead, these people had to learn how to be content with what they earned so they weren't tempted to be dishonest in financial matters and take what they weren't entitled to or abuse in some way their position of trust. When I worked in business back in the day, best part of 20 years ago, I would discipline people sometimes. Stealing, fiddling timesheets, working while claiming benefits, bullying and harassment, including sexual harassment, were some of the things that I had to discipline people for. In the best part of 20 years of pastoral ministry, I've heard a lot of confessions. Lying on job applications, theft from employees, unfair dismissals, inappropriate use of computers, including pornography, infidelity and affairs, drunkenness, unhealthy fantasizing, manipulation, abuse, fraud. In pastoral ministry, these are the confessions that I've heard. We live in a broken world inside the church as well as outside. There is hope. There is hope. John the Baptist reminds us this morning that Jesus is our life changer. He says of Jesus and the Holy Spirit living within us, he's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash burned. But it does involve making a choice. It involves deciding which path. Wrote a lot about sin, and in the book of Romans he helps us understand our relationship with it. He says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. And so many of us can say about ... fill in the blank, that is the story of my life. Paul goes on to say, but I know that if what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing the wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. And when Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, he explored some of what's behind sin in our lives. He reminded the church and we are in a battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Back to Romans, Paul says, put on Lord Jesus Christ. This is our protection. This is our antidote. This is our prescription. This is our medication against sin. This is our hope. Put on Jesus Christ. But then he says, make no plans to satisfy fleshly desires. Our hope is in Jesus, but we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice not to make plans to satisfy fleshly desires. You know, our banker in that story worked in a money-making environment, and he could so easily have adopted those money-making principles into his own life, and he could have made plans to satisfy his fleshly desires by using all of that money for his own pleasure and his own gain. But he made a choice to live differently, to live generously, to allow his wealth to benefit others. In his case, it was giving to a charity that would help people. For us today is, where is God looking to transform our lives so that we can be a transforming influence where we live, where we work, and where we socialize? Wonder what we're wrestling with today that affects the purposes that Jesus has for you in the kingdom of God. Where are you making fleshly desires rather than putting on Jesus Christ? The people who John the Baptist challenged asked a question: what are we supposed to do? In a few moments, we're going to be sharing in communion. I'd like to invite you to ask that same question before we share in the bread. Lord Jesus, what is it you're saying to me today? What is it that I am supposed to do in order to be a transforming influence where I live, where I work, and where I socialize? Is he asking us to be obedient to what he said about money and sex and power? Is he asking us to turn from something that he knows that we know that he wants us to stop doing? Is he saying today, sin no more? Where is he asking us to put him first in our life? The good news is, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. We can Christ Jesus on, but our choice is whether we respond that invitation to allow Jesus to infiltrate every part of our lives, the best and the darkest, where we live, where we work, and where we socialize.